Acts chapter 21. Faithful God has been in these last couple months as we've moved through the book of Acts. We see God moving in powerful ways. We recognize the last several weeks how the Apostle Paul was used of God in such a powerful way. And if you look at the life of the Apostle Paul, we come to Acts chapter 21, where Paul is arrested in a temple setting. Back in Acts chapter 19, Paul was facing a riot in Ephesus because the people revolted against the message that he was sharing. How many realize in Paul's day, as well as ours, there will always be people that will stir things up? There always will be agitators. There'll always be people who will demotivate and those that will try to rouse things up and create problems and find our lives being discouraged from time to time. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote in his book, The Cost of Discipleship, when Christ calls a man, he bids him to come and die. And he wasn't just referring to physical death, but he was referring to what the Apostle Paul lived out and Dietrich Bonhoeffer many years later would live out in his own life. It was a death to self. It was a death that they would express in their life through self-sacrifice. We look at Paul here in Acts chapter 21. He's not self-centered. He's Christ-centered. He's not self-seeking. He's always exalting the name of Jesus. He's not self-promoting. He's not looking for his own agenda or his own promotion. For he said in Philippians 1, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Let's look at Acts chapter 21. There's three sections that we want to look at this evening. We want to reflect on how the Apostle Paul responded to what took place here in Jerusalem. So I'm reading from Acts chapter 21, beginning at verse 27. When the 7 days were almost completed, the Jews from Asia seeking him in the temple stirred up the whole crowd and laid hands on him, crying out, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man who is teaching everyone everywhere against the people and the law and this place. Moreover, he even brought Greeks into the temple and has defiled this holy place. For they had previously seen Trophimus, the Ephesian, with him in the city. And they supposed," keep an eye on these words, "and they supposed that Paul had brought him into the temple. Then all the city was stirred up, and the people ran together. They seized Paul and dragged him out of the temple, and at once the gates were shut." Powerful statement. Verse 31. "And as they were seeking to kill him, word came to the tribune of the cohort of all Jerusalem that all Jerusalem was in confusion. He at once took soldiers and centurions and ran down to them. And when they saw the tribune and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. Then the tribune came up and arrested him and ordered him to be bound with two chains." Let me just stop there. Not the kind of day you want to spend there in the temple. Paul is there by divine appointment. He's there following a season of purification of those that he was with. The rite of circumcision had been completed. He is finding himself facing opposition time and time again. He never really knew what a quiet day was, neither do we many times. But as Paul, let's today in 2022, let's stand on God's word, Bethany. Let's be strong like he was in the Lord and the power of his might, so that when people would speak against him all this time, through all that he hears and all the accusations and all the comments, he holds steady until at the end he begins to find the words just to share to calm a riotous crowd. But let's pick up what took place. When the tribune came up and arrested him, verse 33. He ordered him to be bound with two chains. He inquired who he was and what he had done. Some in the crowd were shouting one thing and some another. And as he could not learn the facts because of the uproar, he ordered him to be brought into the barracks. And when he came to the steps, he was actually carried by the soldiers because of the violence of the crowd. What a testimony the Apostle Paul leaves. See, for him, to live was Christ. And if he would die there at the temple setting, he was willing to lay down his life. For the mob of the people followed, crying out, "Away with him." As Paul was about to be brought into the barracks, he said to the tribune, boy, Paul has a lot more patience than I ever would. After being dragged out of the temple, after being beaten, after being maligned, after being discounted, after being questioned and almost left for dead, he says to the centurion leader, "May I say something to you?" And he said, "Do you know Greek? Are you not the..." Then he says, "Are you not the Egyptian who was recently stirring up a revolt and led 4,000 men of the assassins out into the wilderness?" Paul replied, "I am a Jew from Tarsus of Cilicia, a citizen of no obscure city. I beg you, permit me to speak to the people." Verse 40, and when he had given him permission, Paul, standing on the steps, motioned with his hand to the people, and when there was a great hush, he addressed them in the Hebrew language or the dialect. And it stops there. I don't know about you. It ends, and it's literally, the story shall be continued, but not now. But I'm going to come back to Bethany. How about you? I'm coming back in the weeks and days ahead to hear how Paul's defense and testimony. See, God uses all of this time. How many are realizing that in God, none of the times in our lives are ever wasted? God uses everything. What the enemy, we sang before, what the enemy would mean for evil, God could mean for good. God had a plan to bring Paul to Rome one day, and he would bring them through jail cells. He would bring him out of the Damascus Road salvation experience. He would bring him through a shipwreck where there'd be no loss of life, but he was to testify the good news of the gospel in Rome, and God would bring him there. But let's go back and learn some highlights and some observations from this passage in Acts 21. Notice it says, first of all, the crowd was stirred up. Then they laid hands on him. Then they cried out for help, saying, "This man is teaching everyone and everywhere." That would be quite a great accusation for people here in Springfield, to see you and I being more bold in our witness for Christ. You know, we don't face the persecution that the early church faced. And I'm thankful that last Sunday night we were part of a great prayer service when we prayed for the persecuted church. But I sense in my spirit, I'm sensing more and more there's such a hostility in our world against the gospel message. There's such a hostility against people that stand for good. And we live in a day and age where people call evil good and good evil. And the church is often maligned and put down. And we're finding that people are not wanting us to speak in the public square. They're almost at a place now where we're being so marginalized that they're giving an idea to us that you can keep your religion and keep the things that you believe inside the church walls, but don't bring them into the school. Don't bring them into the business place. Don't bring them into workplace tomorrow. Don't bring them into the highways and byways in the greater Pioneer area. We want to live our lives apart from being ruled by God in any way, shape, or form. So we have the people here fired up, and they add a little bit more fuel to the fire. They accuse him of bringing Greeks into the temple, which anyone who knows the history of the Jewish religion and the temple of that day, there was the outer court for the Gentiles, but there was the inner court that only Jews could go into, and it was forbidden for any Gentile to go in there. So they're piling on one more accusation after another and saying that Paul would defile this place, for we believe he brought non-Jews into the building. And they drop the name of his co-laborer to them. He was an Ephesian. His name means nourishing. He had helped Paul over the years in many different ways. He was with him in the city. But it says in our text that they supposed. You know what I find, and I'm sure you have too, there are a lot of people, not only here in Jerusalem, but I believe in your family and mine and in our greater Springfield area, that the only exercise that some people get are jumping to conclusions and chasing rumors. And that's what they did. They supposed, they thought, they had innuendo that Paul was a revolutionary or he wasn't really who he said he was. So first the crowd is stirred up, but then you come further down and now the whole city, look at chapter 27, verse 30. It says, when all the city was stirred up and the people ran together, they seized Paul and dragged him out of the temple. And at once, the gates were shut. That's a powerful phrase, isn't it? The whole city was stirred up. You see, the real opposition then and now, people are not reacting as much against you and I or even against Paul, but rather against what he stood for, what he shared, what he was saying. The real opposition was the violent outburst there in the temple was against the gospel message, listen, being opened to the Gentiles. They wanted it kept among themselves. But how many are glad the gospel that we've come to know teaches us that whosoever will may come. And if the scripture teaches us anything, that in Christ, the barrier, the dividing wall between the outer gate or the inner court, or the dividing wall that would separate Jew from Gentile, bond or free, male or female, that we are one in Christ. And we are free to worship him in the power of the Holy Spirit. The gospel message was opened to the Gentiles. So we've seen in the book of Acts how the people would ran after Paul, seizing him, dragging him out of the temple, seeking to kill him. You know, I'm reminded that Paul would write to the church at Corinth these words, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. How many are glad tonight that God has made us more than conquerors through him who loved us and gave himself for us, that we have a treasure in jars of clay so that the power doesn't rest in you and me. It's not how strong I am, but how strong God can be in me and through me. That when I'm weak, Paul would say, I can be strong in him. I can depend on him. I can trust God to bring me through every storm. He says, we are afflicted in every way. And some of you are going through a time of testing, a time where maybe people are speaking against you and putting you down and shortchanging and not taking your life seriously. There's other times where you might be perplexed and wondering, where is God in my life? I have found many times, just because I don't often see God working as fast or as quick as I'd like him to work, it doesn't mean he's not working. God's always working behind the scenes. Even in the life of a loved one that can be stubborn or not responsive to the gospel, let's believe that God is still working. And we don't have to understand it all. If I have to wait until I understand all that God has or can or will do, I might be waiting a long time. But I've had to learn in my Christian life, I need to trust God for what I do know, and I need to trust him for what he knows. Because he knows the beginning from the end. He's omniscient. And my life and my times are in his hands, David says. We sang the song many years back, many things about tomorrow I don't need to understand, for I know who holds tomorrow, and I know he holds my hand. He's always with us. I'm sure glad in the world we live in now in 2022 that sometimes on the mountain in the brightest of light and sometimes in the valley when it's dark and you're alone and there's a burden is raging in your heart and life, God is there as a very present help. There's times when we may be crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. That's Paul. He's been beaten. He's been dragged out of the temple. He's now in chains. But his heart and life is trusting in the God that he served for so many years. You see, the carnal mind then and now, and these people were pretty carnal to do what they did to Paul. The mind of the flesh is void of peace. It's void of stability. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is peace. But here in Jerusalem, the crowd is stirred up. The crowd is driven into a frenzy. The whole city is stirred up. And we recognize that where truth is shared, and that's what Paul was doing, where truth is shared, falsehood will always attack. And often, truth is lost in confusion. Isaiah tells us that truth itself, he says, has stumbled in the streets. Doesn't that sound a lot like 2022? Truth has stumbled in the streets. But I'm thankful we're called upon here in Bethany to share the good news of the gospel like Paul in the power of the Holy Spirit and leave the results with him. So we move on. When the tribune came, the leader of the Roman centurion came, he binds him with two chains, and he inquires who he was and what he had done, and shows you confusion of the crowd. Some of them were shouting one thing, and some were shouting another. They're just total chaos. He could not learn the facts because of the uproar. He ordered him to be brought to the barracks. But he's been beaten. He's enchained. And when he came to the steps, he was actually carried by the soldiers because of the violence of the crowd. Let's be honest. I don't know anything of that type of persecution. And I'm thankful that we're able to still share. But let's be mindful that, as Bonhoeffer said, when Christ calls us, he bids us to come and die. I may have to die to my own will, to my old self-centeredness, to self-seeking, to self-preservation, and to recognize we may be called upon to give a lot more than we've ever given before. The days we live in, I think Paul demonstrates it. Paul knew that today the Christian life was not a playground, it was a battleground. And that's the battle we face today, isn't it? We don't face a battle of often flesh and blood, but against principalities and power and wickedness in high places. So they carry Paul, for the mob was crying out. Notice what they were saying. Away with him. It sounds a lot like what was said to his master. The Lord Jesus heard that same cry of an uproar of people that was against what he represented and giving his life for the sins of the world. For in Luke's gospel, it says, the people, when he stood before Pilate, cried out, "Away with him! Away with him!" And Paul was brought into the barracks. And finally, as I said earlier, after all of this, Paul says, may I say something? Can I speak? And as he spoke, the Roman general said, "Do you know Greek?" He detected something in his voice. He was a learned man. There was something different about Paul. But then, I can't believe this. After all of this, he brings this statement to Paul. "Are you not the Egyptian?" What does that have to do with anything? "Are you not the Egyptian?" But the background was, there was a man that this Roman general thinks Paul might be. They will not recognize. It still baffles me that they don't understand who this man really is. "Are you not the Egyptian then who stirred up a revolt and led 4,000 men of the assassins out into the wilderness?" We're not going to have time to get into all the detail, but there was a guy that came there to the city of Jerusalem. He had 4,000 men. They had daggers in their robes. They went around terrorizing everyone. He was one of these guys that boasted. He was self-centered, self-absorbed. And whoever he was said, "I'm going to speak and the walls of Jerusalem will fall down and we'll take over this city." That's quite a claim. Of course, it never happened. He got away. His men were imprisoned. But this guy got away. And this Roman leader thinks that Paul is this guy coming back. They think he's some type of revolutionary. In reality, he was, but it was for the cause of Christ. And he stood there, and here's what he says. Paul replied, "I am a Jew from Tarsus of Cilicia, a city of no obscurity. I beg you," this was a big request. He's a prisoner. He's chained. He's been beaten. How did he have the strength to even stand and speak? Because I believe he was strong in the Lord. That's why. That's how. And when you're weak in yourself, you can be strong in him. And when you stand before some persecution, you might not always know what to say, but God can give you the words to say or to help you to hold steady. Sometimes there's a time to speak and there's a time to be silent. But there's a time where we're going to have courage in the coming days to stand for God's word and cross the line and say, "I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ." And it might cost us a lot more than we've ever paid before. Pastor Stephen, that testimony of that woman on Sunday night whose village was burned and lost her husband and son, and her Bible was burned. We have so many, you know, that we have so many at home and so many things that we could read and have a church that we could come to. But there's people around the world today and tonight that don't have the opportunity to gather. And when they do, and we hear stories that people have maybe got a little portion, they've torn out a piece of the New Testament, or somebody over there memorized Psalm 23, and somebody over here memorized Ephesians 6 about the full armor of God, and they come and they quote these verses, and that's all they have. They don't have a Bible. And Paul says, I ask that you would help me, just permit me to speak to the people. And when he had given him permission, which I believe was God's supernatural intervention, he didn't have to do that. But this sets the stage for a greater defense. I'm going to come back and see how it all turns out, because I can't get there tonight. So coming to a church near you. Paul says, he's standing on the steps and he motions with his hand to the people. And when there was a great hush, wow, there it is. In closing, where the presence of the Lord is, there is peace. A beaten, chained prisoner could speak to the people, and by lifting his hand, just simply asking the ability to address the people, God quiets the crowd. How many are glad that God is still able to work in our times? And maybe you're here tonight, and the lesson that we take with us is Paul teaches us that our lives are in God's hands. And I remind us of this truth found in closing in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. This kind of brings together everything that we've said about the Apostle Paul. But Peter applies it to believers, and he says this. This is what I want us to gather in a moment around an altar of prayer. Because maybe you haven't been persecuted physically, but you've gone through time when you've been maligned or marginalized or criticized or perhaps persecuted in some way. But let's listen to what Peter says. 1 Peter 3, 13. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy. And here's a key reminder. Let's come to pray in a few moments. Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile you, your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. Can we stand? As the worship team would lead us, the altar's open, Bethany. Paul went through a riot in Ephesus. He went through a riot and got arrested in the temple. But Paul's life was a life that can be an example for you and I to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's find a place of prayer tonight. Let's come as a church family, step out even now, and say, Lord God, whatever I'm facing, whatever may be coming our way because of what we see in our own society, I don't want to be self-centered. I don't want to be self-seeking. I don't want to be self-promoting. But I want the purpose of God. I want the priorities that Paul had in his life to teach me that the Christian life is not a playground, not a time of fooling around, not to take it lightly. But the days we live in are evil. Let's be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Let's call upon him while he is near. Let's wait in his presence for God to equip us and enable us to live as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ in the days ahead.